Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Brian E. Roach and Zach Meckler.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Brian E. Roach, the host who remains completely anti-toast. And we've got a kind of a special, I guess, mock draft session of the podcast. Multiple folks here, some you know, some you don't. But I'm going to do a nice little intro roundtable here and bring you up to speed with all of our little draft nicks who we have here on board tonight. First of all, you know, this guy you will know. He's been here multiple times. He's often here. He's our younger brother from another mother, the professor of football, Mr. Zachariah Meckler. Zach, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Glad to be back, Brian.
Always a pleasure. And then a couple guys. Ryan, I'm going to introduce Ryan Lippert. You've been on one of the podcasts at least before, have you not?
Yes, I was on the draft stuff last year.
Yep. And so welcome back. How you doing?
Pretty good. Just trying to stay sane in this crazy time we're all in right now.
Absolutely. And then our noob. We got a noob. This is his indoctrination. We're popping his cherry, so to speak, on this episode. Ben Bieberman. Ben, how you doing tonight?
I am doing just well tonight. And just like Ryan, I too am trying to stay sane in this crazy time that we're living in.
Well, you know, it is a crazy time. But that's good, right? Well, it's not, at least it's not mock draft insanity. That was last time. So this time around, we're going to take a look. Everybody in the group here is going to give you their idea of what the rest of the AFC North is going to do in the first round, since the Steelers don't have a first round pick. And unlike in mock draft insanity, I will not be trading away the entire 2021 draft so that I can have 8 billion picks and get them a first round pick. So after the first round, we will then just focus on the Steelers through round 2 to 4 and try and give you a sense of where all of our minds are if you care to listen. So hopefully this will be a good time. We've done it a couple times in the past years, and that means that if we start this off on the clock right away, those lovely, wonderful kitty cats in Cincinnati, the Bengals, whatever you want to call them, how can they mess up the first pick in the draft? Let's see if they do. And Ryan, since you may be the closest one to them, we'll let you start. What are the Bengals going to do in the first round with the first pick?
Honestly, I see them keeping it simple and just sticking with Burrow here, unless they get just a crazy trade offer from like the Dolphins or somebody else that they just can't pass up. I just don't see why they want to go Burrow here. I mean, the fans are just, I know a lot of fans up there, they're just hungry for a change, and Burrow brings the excitement. He's the top quarterback in the class, just came off a Heisman and national championship season, one of the best performances of a quarterback we've seen in a long time. And I think, honestly, I went to the game in Cincinnati last year. Pittsburgh was up there. There were a lot of empty seats, and they don't take Burrow here. I think that continues next season. They got to put some butts in the seats in Cincinnati. So I'm going Burrow first pick.
All right. Let's see what Mr. Professor of Football thinks. Zachariah, what do you think they do?
Yeah, don't overthink it. I mean, Joe Burrow seems to be the logical pick. They've maximized their time with all the allowance of virtual FaceTime meetings that teams are being allotted for this pre-draft, as they maxed it out this past week trying to get him as much face-to-face time with Zach Taylor and the rest of the staff as they can get. And like Ryan said, unless someone blows them away with a massive offer that is a can't-miss trade to move back a couple spots, Joe Burrow's their dude. You know, Chase Young is a fit for them. I think they couldn't go wrong with either one, but they're not taking Chase Young over Joe Burrow. I mean, he's the Ohio guy, fits the biggest need for them. They have Andy Dalton still on the roster for the time being, so they could have, you know, a situation where you have two guys pushing each other. Joe should be the starter, but don't overthink this. It will be Burrow when it's all said and done.
Ben, do you agree, or are you going to be a contrarian and do something different?
No, I fully agree. I think the Bengals will be pretty insane not to take Burrow. I mean, just like Ryan said, like, that team is hungry for a fresh start. And after all the visits they've had with Burrow, just the attention that he would bring to that franchise, the impact that he would have, especially the fact they've had this slump for the past few seasons, if they don't take Burrow, you're going to see Cincinnati go up in flames. Like, I think it's a no-brainer. But then again, it's the Bengals, so we don't know. They may go crazy. They may go with Tua. They may go with Justin Herbert. But I say Burrow.
While I want to pull a Maurice Jones-Drew here, or whoever the heck made that mock draft where they picked some ridiculous quarterback in the first round that wasn't Joe Burrow, the trend of using up all your time, you know, they have done their homework with him as much as they humanly can pre-draft, and so I'm just going to follow along on board. I agree with you guys, unless the offer from whoever to move up to get Burrow is Vikings-esque to the Cowboys or whatever, you know, something ridiculous. I just can't see them doing it, and I think that's what they'll do. So all right, so we all sort of agree Joe Burrow is going to be the Bengals pick. The Browns would be next on the board, I think, at 10, if that's correct.
Yes.
And Ben, we'll start with you this time. What are the Brownies going to do? How are they going to mess this up?
So as I was looking at their current depth chart and thinking about what they struggled with, one of the biggest things that the Browns struggled with is up front. Ever since Joe Thomas retired and then shuffling around all their pieces, I was thinking that for my pick, if I was them, I would go with Andrew Thomas out of Georgia. He's a very solid tackle. It's one of their issues that they've had with edge protection, especially when they play us, because we just demolish them off the edge. Like, if they want to have Mayfield have success and they want to give him time in the pocket, they have to start investing in their guys up front. Because if they don't, it's just going to be repeat all over again. He's going to get sacked multiple times. He's not going to have time to throw. And it's just going to be a constant cycle all over again.
All right. I'm going to just chime in because, damn you, that's my pick too. and I said, I thought, you know, why not replace a Thomas with a Thomas? And Andrew Thomas was on the board at 10 when I was doing my sim. And I said that to me makes the most sense for all those reasons you just mentioned. And so I also had them taking Andrew Thomas at the 10th pick. Ryan, what do you got?
Well, I guess it's going to be three with Andrew Thomas here. as Ben said, they struggled up front. I think there'll be a team that picks multiple offensive linemen in this draft, and Thomas just makes sense there. He's a true left tackle, helped protect the blind side against, you know, two good defenses at least in the league with us in Baltimore. Try to keep Baker healthy and see if he can improve on what was a pretty subpar season last year for him. So stick with Thomas there. But, I mean, with this offensive tackle class, I think these kind of guys, the top four guys, I mean, they could fall anyway. But I see Thomas being there for the Browns this point.
All right. Professor, will you be edumacating us or will you be giving us a good grade for our pick?
So I actually had Thomas as one of my guys I was considering here, but I'm going to take a different route with their pick. And from my understanding, they've had two virtual meetings with two premier tackles in this class, one being Andrew Thomas, the other one being Mekhi Becton. I think if you look at long-term upside, I think Becton has a much lower floor, but when has that ever stopped the Browns from taking a pick in the first round? So I think realistically, Mekhi Becton offers them the highest ceiling. I mean, they just signed Jack Conklin to that, you know, massive deal to not locked up one side. They're still rolling with Chris Hubbard on the other. Chris Hubbard, you know, love him when he was in Pittsburgh. Still think he's an average starter, but he could very easily be upgraded opposite of Conklin. I think realistically, getting a guy like Becton in there, he has his flaws. You know, the fact that he's almost 370 pounds, even though he's an athletic 370, you would like to see him cut a little bit of weight for them. But I just think you give him the opportunity to get behind Hubbard for a little bit, maybe doesn't start right out of the gate, but I think he gives you a Pro Bowl caliber tackle at one side, and you already have a Pro Bowler on the other side in Jack Conklin. So I think realistically, Becton gives you a higher upside than Thomas. I do like Thomas a lot. I think you kind of see what you get with him. That's going to be a decent starter, but I don't know if he'll ever reach that upper echelon of offensive lineman. I think Becton potentially gets to that point, but there is the inherent risk of just being a raw offensive lineman with ridiculously disgusting physical traits, 7-foot wingspan, great feet, decent leverage for guys 6'8". So I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the pick there, but I think you couldn't go wrong with him or Thomas if you're the Browns.
All right, well then, you know, I'm glad you picked somebody else just to be different. Because, you know, we all been in the same board. But maybe this is the point where we all go nuts and we pick somebody different for that team in Baltimore. You know, the Ratbirds, they will be picking at, what, 28, I believe? So, Professor, I'm going to let you start us off. What will the Baltimore Ravens be doing at 28?
Yeah, I think with the loss of guys like Marshall Yonda and guys like that, I think they could realistically go interior offensive lineman here. The only guy I think is worthwhile at that position is Cesar Ruiz from Michigan, but that's not who I'm picking here because I think they have done a good enough job trying to develop some of that talent. I think they do have bodies to insert up front for that power run game. So who I'm going with here is actually Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma. They're looking for someone to fill the inside there. I mean, right now they're rolling with L.J. Fort, Chris Board, their main inside guys, predominantly L.J. Fort, which is a fine depth piece. I wouldn't want him being my starting linebacker day one. I think when you get past Isaiah Simmons, Kenneth Murray is really the only guy who I'm sitting here looking at saying I want him for this defense. I think he fits what they do up front. I think he has versatility to play inside or out. And I think when you look at that with what they need at linebacker on that second level for that defense, I think Murray could step in day one. They've shown an interest in him. Again, I'm putting a lot of inventory in these virtual visits because I think that's really the only way you can kind of start to connect the dots with some of these prospects. Another virtual visit for the Ravens is Murray. I think he's long. He's athletic. He's a thumper. I think he's a guy I can cover decently, and I think he fits kind of what the Ravens do on that back end. And I think the pick makes a lot of sense for him because they can't roll into the season with L.J. Fort being their only real competent middle linebacker there. So, you know, I think Murray makes the most sense for them.
All right. Damn you, I should have gone first. So I'll chime in again. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I looked at Ruiz, too, and in two of the sims that I ran, I actually picked him. But I don't, and I will freely admit, I don't pay enough attention to what the Ravens are doing to give you an idea of whether I think their O-line is got the depth it needs or not. But, you know, I do know that they need pieces at linebacker, and so I also went with Murray. It's not what I hope they do, to be quite frank, but it's what I expect them to do. But we'll see what happens. So, Ryan, what do you got them doing?
Well, once again, three of us in agreement. I have Murray as well. I mean, like Zach said, he gives you some versatility where you can play inside and out, but he's a great, you know, athletic inside linebacker. He flies to the ball. I like what I saw a lot of him in his film that I've seen. And, you know, like there's one game last season. I believe it was last season he had like 28 tackles in a game or something ridiculous. I mean, he's a baller. And he may not even fall to the Ravens, to be honest with you. But as of now, I'll have him falling there. So that's my pick there. They need the starting inside linebacker.
All right, Ben. Are we going? Are we doing another 4-4? And I swear, everyone, we haven't actually even talked about this.
Well, I guess for the first time, I'm the black sheep of the group because I went an entirely different direction.
Hooray!
So looking at what the Ravens did last year with the run game, like Lamar Jackson going crazy, Mark Ingram giving them their power back scenario, I'm saying that I'm not sure if he's going to be there, but I was looking at right guard Shane Lemieux, I think is how you say his last name, out of Oregon, because especially like we said earlier with Marshall Yonda retiring, there is a hole there with regards to leadership in regards to power guards, and I could see them. If Murray's not there, because I was debating between him and Murray, But I think based off how the AFC North is going, it's starting to shift back to the power run game. Everybody's going to start beefing up the front and powering the ball down everybody's throats. So I could see them taking a right guard here. So my pick would be Lemieux.
All right. Well, finally, and you know, we got an offensive lineman going to the Ravens, but you know, I've seen a lot of mocks, and I'm gonna ask you. I think for the most part, you know, most people think the Bengals are the same way we have kind of pushed them, in that they assume that they're going to take Burrow unless they're blown away by a deal, and so I don't really think there's a lot of question there or a lot of suspense, but who knows? It is the Bengals. And I think that, you know, I've seen a lot of mocks where, you know, the Browns are taking an offensive tackle, and that makes sense. But I've seen, for the Ravens, I've kind of seen them all over the place. People love to take wide receivers for the Ravens. And, you know, none of us went in that direction, but does anybody think that that is a remote possibility for that team? Okay. So we kind of unless somebody thinks that that's realistic, I think that they have too many other strong needs, and as Zach and I have talked several times, it's too deep of a wide receiver draft. They can get somebody else later if they choose. Putting the 28th pick into that position doesn't seem right to me. Okay, so that's where we expect the AFC North to go in the first round. Now, we're not going to really focus too much on those teams as we move forward, but now we're in the second round, which is where our beloved Pittsburgh Steelers actually have picks at 49. And to start us off, why not start with the noob, Ben? What are the Steelers going to do at 49?
Well, I spent hours debating this because there are so many ways that we could go. We know that with Ramon Foster retiring, there's a need to build up depth up front. There's also a question mark at safety with Terrell Edmonds, who is going to back him up. I know we re-signed Dangerfield to a one-year deal, but I kind of went crazy with this one. I'm 99% sure he's not going to be here. But if he is, I would take Jonathan Taylor as my pick, because running back is kind of an interesting spot right now, because like, I love James Conner. I love his running style. I love his power. I love what he brings to the table, but he does have an injury issue. And I really think that because there is that question mark, whether he can remain healthy, if they can manage to bring, it doesn't have to be Taylor, it could be any of the top running backs. If any of them fall to the second round at this pick, I think it would not be a bad idea if they take one. Because let's say Connor does get hurt again, and they could bring in someone like Taylor for either rotation behind Benny Snell, or they can use like special sub packages for him, any short yardage situations. I think he would be a good fit with the Pittsburgh offense.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to wait. Ryan? Where do you go with 49 for the Steelers?
Much like Ben said, I scratched out names and rewrote names so many times while I was looking at this mock draft, because there's a lot of different ways we could go. And I mean, there's not really a huge, like, we have to take this position, this pick, like with our first pick. So I'm in agreement with Ben here. I had Jonathan Taylor here. Like I said, don't know if he'll fall, but this running back class is so close at the top with the top four or five guys that I think any of them could fall. I think I'd like Dobbins here. I'd even like Edwards-Helaire here. But out of the guys, I like Jonathan Taylor just because he's a good – he can run in between the tackles, like a good, strong power guy, but he also has that speed to – take off at the second level. He has some concerns with his ball security. He'll have to shore that up, of course, but for his upside, I like Jonathan Taylor here.
All right, so that's two Taylors. You know, Zach, you and I just recently talked about this at length, specifically the running backs. So with that in mind, where did you go at 49?
Yeah, honestly, it's funny that Ben and Ryan said this, because this is the one pick that I feel the most confident about of all the picks. Unless somebody falls that no one's expecting to fall right now, I really don't envision a situation where they don't go running back with this first pick. And I know that's kind of a weird thing to think about when you have James Conner in the lineup, but I just think in the future, if you wait too long to get a running back in this class, because I think they've flirted with enough of them and flirted with the idea of taking one, that they're going to select one. But if you wait too long, you're not going to necessarily get that feature bell cow back. And I think this class, there's no one that really stands that far above the rest of them. You have DeAndre Swift, fine, but he's not going to be there at 49, nor do I think he's a Steelers fit anyway. If you listen to the last podcast, my pick here is Cam Akers from Florida State. I'm not upset with J.K. Dobbins. I'm not upset with Jonathan Taylor. I just think when you look at the potential ceiling that Akers possesses coming from his abysmal situation out of Florida State, you're seeing a guy who could potentially be one of the best running backs from this class, and I don't think that's far-fetched to put that down here. We're looking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. I think you look at the football character from the things he's able to deal with when he was at Florida State. I think you look at the line he ran behind, and he was still able to be a consistently productive football player. You give him an NFL-caliber line like the Steelers that have guys up front that can get the job done. You're seeing a guy who's fast enough to pull off a big play. He's physical. He's going to run downhill, run through you. He doesn't have the same wear and tear on his body that Jonathan Taylor does, so I'm not as concerned with that. I think he's a very good three-down back. I think he's shown that he has enough chops to work with as a receiver that he continue to grow in that capacity. And he's just a quick, elusive one-hit guy, but he can put his foot to the metal and get it done. So Akers is the one running back in this class I'm excited about. And I think of all those top running backs, he's the one that's most realistically going to be there at 49. I wouldn't be upset, like I said, with Dobbins or with Taylor. I think all three of them are very good scheme fits for the Steelers. So it pretty much comes down to whichever flavor of running back they're looking for. But my choice would be Akers in this situation.
And I'm not surprised. And I will be sticking with my guns. I've been saying it since, I don't know when, last year. It's J.K. all day, baby. It's J.K. all day. I agree with you. It's going to be a running back. And I've now run, I don't know how many hundreds of these mocks. And as the boards have progressed, as free agency has gone on, as teams have picked up various pieces and changed things around, the thing that seems to me to be common is that at least two, if not all three of those guys, are going to be there at 49. Now, that's simulators, and they're worth about as much as a plug nickel. They're not worth much. There I'm going throwing old-timey quotes out. Is it really likely? I don't know, but I think that there is a realistic chance that they have their pick of any of those three backs. And, I bleed scarlet and gray, so I'm picking Dobbins. Do I think any of those are bad? No. I share the concerns that I have shared all along about Jonathan Taylor, which is 800 billion touches at Wisconsin, and the amount of wear and tear that puts on him. But if they picked him, hey, I still think he's a good running back, a very good running back. I'm not going to be upset, but that is still my concern. I like Dobbins. I like Akers. I like Taylor. My preference is to go Buckeye. But, hey, that's just I'm not trying to hide it. It's because I'm a homer. I want a Buckeye. I think we all have clearly agreed that running back is likely to be the choice here. Look, Ben, you talked about safety, and I just don't think that they're going to take a safety at this point in the draft, regardless, because I think they're higher on Edmonds than any of the fan base is. And hopefully they don't feel like they have to do that. But let's say that – I don't want to say it's the unthinkable, but let's say for the sake of argument, we'll just go around and get a second option here. If all three of those running backs that we've just talked about, Akers, Dobbins, and Taylor, are gone at this pick at 49, and I'll start, Ben, with you. Where do you think they might go then?
Honestly, it's hard to think about because as I was debating this, if none of those backs are there, if I was them, I would possibly go interior line. Maybe get somebody for depth, because, I mean, offensively, outside of the lack of a running back depth, they're pretty much set at wide receiver. They just signed Ebron, so I don't really see them drafting a tight end. Quarterback, they're not going to take a quarterback here. So I would probably take either a backup center or possibly a backup left guard to just groom him in, get him acquainted with the system. Somebody I think that could possibly start in the near future, possibly after Pouncey's gone. Who knows?
Kush.
That's where I would probably go.
Kush, Barry. All right. Ryan, what do you think?
In the second, I think with as good as we did in free agency at addressing some positions, I think they might just go best offensive skill player available. If the running backs are gone, I would look at receiver as a possibility, depending on who's there, though. I do kind of like Jalen Reagor if he's available, just as a nice deep threat to have. So I'll maybe lean that way. But like I said, it all depends on how the board falls to this point, I think.
Zach, how rude of you to make those vomit noises while he's talking about Jalen Reagor. Okay. It's just terribly cruel of you. Zach, what do you think if in fact that were to be the case? Where do you think they go?
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I've convinced myself the running back is the pick. I'm not saying it necessarily is going to. I'm not going to be surprised one way or the other because they have a lot of flexibility in a lot of different directions. But I think if a guy like Lloyd Cushenberry is there, I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the pick. John Simpson's a guy that's on their radar, I think. But I think the second round's a little too rich for my liking for him. At that spot, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy like Jalen Reagor, even a guy like Michael Pittman out of USC. I think those are the two receiving options that I think are the most realistic to Steelers. Obviously, the one person that if I had to pick anybody to pick in the second round would be my main man, T. Higgins out of Clemson. I'm dead set on the Steelers drafting somebody out of Clemson this year. I'm not going to be happy if they don't, but that's neither here nor there. But I think realistically, adding some explosiveness to the offensive line or to one of the skill positions makes the most sense. I don't really see a need to draft defense at 49 at this point. There's positions they could go. The linebacker makes sense, but I just think they need to add some infusion of talent to that offense. And I think a receiver to kind of mold as potential replacement for Juju, depending on that contract situation, or a future starting offensive lineman, either a guard or a center, depending on how they rearrange the offensive line this year with both Finney and Foster being gone, makes the most sense to me. So I'd go with Cushenberry, Reagor, or Pittman. Those are my three backup choices here.
Yep, I'm with you on Cushenberry. I'm with you on Pittman. I'm in both cases. I'm going to throw the proverbial Buckeye at you, though. you said no linebackers, but if the right position is there, I'd take Malik Harrison, maybe. But that's just me, and I don't have a good reason for it, other than I think he could pair well with Devin Bush. I would prefer that he was in the third round if they were going to take him as opposed to the second. But I wouldn't take him over Pittman. I wouldn't take him over Cushberry. But if all of the better options, I would take him over Jalen Reagor because I don't like Jalen Reagor. But that's me. If all of the other options are gone, I would dip defense if that's what I felt like the best bang for the buck was. And while I think it's too high for Malik Harrison, it's a possibility. Okay.
It's any comfort to you, Brian. I have him in my top 50 on my big board. If it's any comfort to you.
You had him in the top 50?
I have him in my top 50 on my big board, so I won't be upset to see him at 49.
There you go. See? All right. So we've given you a couple options now at 49. The next lovely pick that those Pittsburgh Steelers have is, what, 102 in the third? And so when we get there, Zach, I'll let you start this one off. Where are you going with that compensatory pick? I even said a big word right in the third round.
So it's kind of very similar train of thought to what you were getting at here with linebacker. I mean, right now they're rolling with Devin Bush as their one bona fide starter. I think Vince Williams deserves more playing time than he's gotten, but it's very clear that the Steelers want athleticism and range on the interior, and Vince Williams at this point is going to be regulated to just being a leader, veteran leader who comes in and is very effective against the run and can do decently against intermediate, shallow routes and whatnot against running backs and tight ends. But not much more. I think the team made that pretty evident. So as much as I love Ulysses Gilbert, and I think he is going to make an impact this year and he's going to turn some heads because he has all the traits you want, they still need more bodies on the inside. They need to make competition there. In a perfect world, they'd have four linebackers that could play at the drop of a hat, no question. And I think that's a situation where they could potentially look to add in the third round. I know Eric and I have both gone back and forth about this guy, and I don't know if there's any interest at all from the Steelers, and I wouldn't be surprised if there is zero interest. But I just think a guy like Troy Dye out of Oregon makes a lot of sense here. He has all the athleticism you want. He has the range that you want. He's productive, and he has a solid football IQ. You know, I think all three of those things are things the Steelers value very much of their linebackers. Now, processing speed, even with that high football IQ, is kind of lacking, which is why I think you put him in a situation like the Steelers. He can learn behind Vince Williams and, honestly, Devin Bush, who started to show the development traits last year. I think he cannot be pushed into there. I think he'd be a special teams stud along with Ulysses Gilbert, and both are athletic enough with Devin Bush to be rangy, middle-tier guys that cover the ball, cover receivers, cover whomever you need them to. He is a little slim, not a big fan of his size, but I really think he'll be able to add some weight on there because he's a tall dude, 6'4". But he has all the athletic traits you want. If he can manage his weight and size and, you know, add a little more bulk to that athleticism, I think you're looking at a three-down starter in the NFL.
All right. I can't fight you on that. Ryan, what did you have him doing at 102?
Well, I have them adding just at a depth position here. We all mentioned interior offensive line. We definitely need some depth there after losing Foster and B.J. Finney. This is kind of a wishful thinking pick for me because he was just talked about in the second, but I've seen, you know, mocks with him going any sort of way. So I had Cushenberry here in the third. I think he is our center of the future when Pouncey's gone, but I think, you know, if we have some struggles at one of the guard positions or somebody goes down, he could be a plug-in guy, kind of like Finney was. But I just like him overall as a backup on the interior offensive line in case we need him to start off.
I would be jumping up and down. I would be so ecstatic if Cushenberry was there in the third and we took him. I love that pick. I agree with you. I think it's wishful thinking. I don't think he's going to be there, but I would love it if he was. All right, Ben, what do you think?
So, similar to what we were saying earlier, I would also take an interior lineman here at this situation. I was debating about Cushenberry because I don't think he's going to be there. So, looking at who I think would have been available, I went with Matt Hennessy because he seemed like a very good option in regards to pass protection. And like Ryan said, he could be also a plug-in guy because they had him listed as center, but he did have some snaps at guard. So if it needed to be, they could move him either center or left guard. I think it would be a very good depth position, especially the fact I think he has the potential to possibly be a starter in the near future. So that's who I would go with.
All right. I thought about Hennessy here. I thought about a couple other guys, but you know, Zach, I've been completely keeping my distance from the Troy Dye argument, and part of it is because I just don't know whether they have had, you know, any kind of interest or shown any kind of interest in him. I do know that there's a guy that they have shown some interest in that might not be around. Although, you know, their next pick in the fourth round is not that far off of this pick, so he could still be there for the first pick in the fourth. But at least in the last two sims I ran, everything went bad after that second round pick of Dobbins, because everybody was gone, and I felt like it was too high. All the receivers I thought might still be there were gone, and since this name has been linked to them, I went ahead and picked him, and that is Alex Highsmith, the edge guy out of Charlotte. I got no idea. I'm not in love with him. I've stated this. I had him in my mock draft insanity. I'm not in love with him. I don't like his length, but I do like some of the other stuff you see out of him. So that's where I ended up going. All right. So that was our first guesses at this pick. What would be your backup And Ben, we'll start with you. If you couldn't go with Hennessy, where would you go as an alternative?
I would probably still stick with interior linemen just to get depth. I was looking at a possibility of Nick Harris, possibly, if he's still there. My only concern with him is the fact that he seems like a very scheme-orientated lineman, that there are certain things that he's good at, but there's a lot of things that he's not good at. Also, there's issues in regards to his play strength and his stamina in regards to long snap periods, but that would probably be another pick of mine if Hennessy was not on the board.
All right, and Ryan?
I had Highsmith as a backup here, just to add some depth at the edge position. I think he could, you know, kind of mold behind Watt and Bud, just kind of be a plug-in guy in our system whenever they need to come off the field. You know, if someone were to unfortunately get hurt, he could kind of be one of those guys that steps up. Like Ben said, I mean, there's other interior offensive line out there, like Christian Berry's teammate, Damian Lewis. He could be possibly an option there. Haven't watched as much of him, but I've seen him falling in the third in some mocks, so he could be a guy as well. So I'd say either edge or interior offensive line at this pick.
All right, and Zachariah.
Yeah, so actually, I'm going a different route here because I really think if they miss out on Lloyd Cushenberry, I really don't envision them going offensive line in the first two picks. And that's just my gut. I could be wrong. I'm hoping I would be elated if Cushenberry was still there. But the guy who I actually had originally slotted in this spot before I went to Troy Dye was actually Courtney Davis, receiver out of Texas A&M. There was a report on Twitter the Steelers had a meeting with him. And I'm not really surprised by that when you look at what he kind of brings to the table. You know, he's not exactly an explosive receiver, but the Steelers have never really showed a penchant for wanting to go after those stereotypical, you know, height, weight, speed prospects. They look for a lot of the small kind of traits that gives them flexibility to do different things with the receivers. And I think Davis fits there. I mean, he's 6'1", he's 200 pounds almost on the nose, ran a 4.54 at the combine. He has unbelievable footwork, which we've seen from guys like Deontay Johnson. We've seen it from guys like Juju Smith-Schuster. We've seen it from guys like Antonio Brown. I think Davis kind of fits into that footwork when it comes to his releases. And I think he's a very good day one slot. I think eventually once he gets more of the nuances down there, he can kind of start working his way to the other spots because the Steelers love versatility inside and out from the receivers. I think he kind of fits that mold. So he was actually my original spot there. Other than Jay Lager, he's the only other receiver I've seen consistently connected to the Steelers. And this one was actually legitimate. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him in a Steelers uniform. Big dude, kind of cut out of a similar mold to Juju. I think he would fit the Steelers' mindset very well.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I toyed with that as well. But I ended up basically going, you know, since I wasn't sure that if I didn't do Alex Highsmith, and I probably would have gone interior line as well. The guy that I thought was another possibility was the guard out of Michigan, Ben Bredesen. I can't say his last name. I don't know. Breedson. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I don't know. He's from that school up north, so I don't really want to talk about him, but I thought that might be an option if there was anything else. Okay. The next pick, as we move into the fourth and final round for us, is pick 18 in the fourth round. I've lost track of what number that actually would be. So the Steelers do have two picks in the fourth. And we'll start with that first one. And Ryan, I don't know if you've gone first yet or not. So Ryan, you get to go first.
Well, like, as I just mentioned with Highsmith as a backup plan in the third, the Steelers could use some depth at the edge. We've got arguably one of the best pass rush duos in the league with Watt and Dupree, but they could use a guy behind them. I went with Anfernee Jennings from Alabama here. He had a good career at Bama. He kind of got lost in the mix. They had some very good defensive prospects on that side of the ball while he was there. So He kind of slipped on the radar a little bit. He has nice strength off the edge. He's not a super athletic guy, but he has the strength and initial punch to kind of win some of those battles off the edge. So he'd be a nice depth piece to kind of add behind those two guys.
All right. Benjamin?
So at this spot, I was just saying this could be a pick for anybody. I decided at this spot I would probably go with receiver just as a depth piece. I was looking through some of the prospects, and one that caught my eye is a guy by the name of Antonio Gandy-Golden out of Liberty. The only issue I have with him is that he ran a 4.6 at the combine, so he's not a burner by any means. But one thing that a lot of scouts raved about him was his size mismatch. He's 6'3" at 222. They say he is very sure-handed. He's very good at combat catches. So I think one thing that the Steelers offense could definitely use is another sure-handed receiver, since they're leaning more to the passing, especially now that Ben is coming back off an injury. And if they do add any receiver that has that ability to just hang on, get those very secure catches between the numbers, would really help this team's offensive production in regards to the passing game. So I would go with Antonio Golden as my selection here.
All right. Zach, what'd you do?
So I said before, I'm going to be very disappointed if the Steelers don't draft a player from Clemson. I'm not just saying that because of my bias, but I'm also just saying that because of the fact that a lot of times we trace where Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin are. Obviously, because of the coronavirus, their pro day visits were limited. The one they both were able to be at in attendance for was Clemson's. And I think the one player of all the players at Clemson that makes the most sense for what they're trying to do is John Simpson. I mean, they also looked at Tanner Muse, but I'm not sticking with this point. John Simpson, the offensive lineman, guard predominantly. I think he really fits what the Steelers do up front. I mean, when you look at him, he's a behemoth of a man. The guy's 6'4", 321, looks a lot like Ramon Foster playing. You know, he's an absolute bulldozer up front. He'll get you out of his way in a hurry. He's strong, very heavy hands, very heavy arms, knocks guys around. He sounds like a prototypical power type of offensive lineman. But what really impresses me about him is the fact that even though he is as big as he is, he's very effective at getting out in space. You know, the Steelers like to utilize screens a lot. They have to utilize a lot of pull blocking from their interior offensive linemen. He does both of those things extraordinarily well, and that's one thing that you really need to be good at to be a Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman. When the Steelers switch to some of their more zone level concepts, I think he does a very effective job of climbing to the second level, getting on linebackers, and getting them the hell out of the way. I think if there's two offensive linemen I could pick for this class, it would be Cushenberry and Simpson, but Simpson just has the makings of a Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman. There's very clear interest there with the multiple meetings they've had with him. I think realistically, you look at what he's able to do, the athleticism is kind of hit and miss, but he is nimble enough to get the job done for a man his size, and I think that only comes with more experience. I think the issues that he has can be worked on with just more comfort and more ease of NFL coaching. So my pick here is Simpson. I think it's kind of the one pick that I'm praying for as much as I am anything, because, you know, go Tigers. So.
And you won't even believe this, but that's my pick too, and I'm not going to talk about him because I'll throw up in my mouth.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware.
So I'm not doing it, but that was my pick there as well. You know, I'm not going to so much worry about fallback positions when we're down here in the fourth round, because, you know, at that point you could go anywhere. So we will move directly to the next pick, which is the 29th pick of the fourth round and our final pick for this mock draft. And we will see who you all think the Steelers are going to take at 29, because, of course, that person will become an instant Hall of Famer and an All-Pro no matter who they are, right? Of course. So, Zach, we're going to start with you this time.
So I think the Steelers have a need at safety. We mentioned this before, and I wouldn't be surprised at all for them to go this route. I think the reports meeting with this guy makes sense. They met with him at the combine, and I think he kind of fits that mold of a third safety, and that's Brandon Jones. I don't know if Brandon Jones will ever be a true starter, but I think that he had a lot of versatility when he was at Texas. He played nickel safety, free safety, strong safety. And at times, you know, he was rolling down and playing in the slot and outside corner. I think his best fit is going to be as just a pure safety to kind of play over the top, because he does have some issues with his instincts. But that's why he's going in the fourth round as opposed to a day one or day two defensive back. So I think he has the ferocity you want to see from a guy. He's a downhill safety. You know, he's not afraid to stick his nose in the pile and, you know, get doing all that dirty work. And I think he gives you that versatility that the Steelers have coveted in, in their defensive backs, that if he grows into the player they hope he can be, you have the ability to kind of move Minka around, as we've seen him do, be a universal chess piece from his time in Alabama. And, you know, I know there's rumors that the Steelers want to utilize him that way this year as well. I think having a very confident number three safety will give them the ability to do that a lot more comfortably. I think the connection with the Steelers and Brandon Jones makes a lot of sense. He kind of fits that need. Kevin Colbert has spent a lot of time recruiting Texas University players from all around at TCU, Texas A&M, University of Texas. So I think realistically it wouldn't make at all a shock to me to see him be a pick here. So I'm going Brandon Jones out of Texas.
All right. Ben, what did you do?
So looking through the available people at this position, I found a pick that I think Steelers Nation would recognize. I'm going to bring a familiar name back to Steelers Nation, and I would take, if he's still here, because I think he's very underrated, but I'm not sure if he would fall this far, but I would take inside linebacker Willie Gay Jr. out of Mississippi State, because his size, he's 6'1", he's very big. I think he fits well in what the Steelers defense wants to do. I think having Devin Bush being your coverage guy and then having this guy opposite of him, it would really complement their need at inside linebacker, because like we said earlier, Vince Williams, he's getting up there in age. He's more just a veteran presence at this point. I like Ulysses, but I don't think he's there just yet to start alongside Bush. So if they could manage to bring in Willie Gay Jr. or somebody like him, I think it would bolster the depth on this defense even more. So that's who I would go with.
All right. And Ryan, what did you do here?
Well, for me, if we don't get a wide receiver in the second or third, I think we really take one of these fourth-round picks. And last year in the draft process, I really pounded the table for one of my Wildcats with Benny Snell, and we took him. So I'm going to do that again this year at the receiver position and go Lynn Bowden Jr. here. Some people may think it was a negative thing that he had to play quarterback all last season, but I'll say as a Kentucky fan, there's no bowl game last year without Lynn Bowden. He's just that type of player. You put the ball in his hands and just let him do the rest. You know, line him up in the slot, let him run routes, or throw him a screen, you know, jet sweeps, let him return some kicks. I think he would be, you know, an electric playmaker for us, even if it's just in a rotational role in a wide receiver room. So I really like Bowden at this pick.
All righty then. I actually picked him, I think, in one of the mock draft insanities, but that's not the direction I would go. I did go wide receiver, and I did this, A, because I didn't think he was still going to be here, but in a couple of sims I ran, he was, and B, because it feels good to just round it out by saying, KJ all day, baby. You know, instead of JK, I'm going KJ and picking another one of my Buckeyes and taking KJ Hill right here. Because, you know, why not? And because I do agree, I'm not sure that the Steelers have any interest. I'm not sure KJ Hill would be here. I'm not sure of any of those things. But I do think a wide receiver is a likely pick somewhere in these picks. And if it's not in round three, it's probably going to be in round four. So he was there and I took him because I wanted to. All right. So let me pose one final question to the group here. And ask it this way. In these top four picks that the Steelers have, what would make you the most pleased by what they did, and what would ruin the draft for you to the point where you would just have to turn it off and you couldn't virtually watch it anymore. So that's the question, and I'll tell you that for me, the second part of that is if there is a quarterback taken in any of those four picks, I am going to cut trees down in my yard and ignore the rest of the draft because I'll be so annoyed. So that's my negative. I'm going to hold on to my positive until the end. But why don't we start this last question with Ryan? Ryan?
So my most pleased would be looking at my mock, honestly, if Kush were to fall to the third, like you all said, I would be very happy. If we could get that kind of quality interior offensive lineman, not in the second, like in the third or fourth, that would make me very happy because we do need depth desperately at that position. And, you know, I'd be happy with any one of these top four running backs we mentioned too. So if we could get those two type of picks in our first two rounds, I would be extremely happy. And the thing that would just make me cringe, like you said, if we draft a quarterback with especially the second or third round, like some of these terrible mocks I've seen think we might do, then that would just make me cringe and probably turn off my TV. with the last pick in the fourth, I wouldn't be disgusted with a Hurts type of quarterback if there's nobody else really available there that I like. But as far as the second or third round goes, absolutely not for me.
All right. Ben, how about you?
Well, I agree with you in regards to the quarterback. If I see them take a quarterback in the second, I'm just going to be like, okay, wash my hands clean. I'm not watching this anymore because I don't see why they would take a quarterback. Honestly, just like Ryan said, in regards to any top running back, I think what would make me happy to get any of these top running backs with that second round pick would just make me happy. And also, like, if they take a quarterback somewhere down there in the fourth pick, I wouldn't be disgusted, but I just think that it would be a missed opportunity to get some valuable depth position at that spot.
Yep. And Zach, what about you?
The thing I want to see the most here is I just want to see them add some new talent on offense. You know, we were excited to see how Deontay Johnson kind of, you know, propelled himself last year as a rookie, and I'm excited to see what he does in year two and seeing James Washington continue to progress. But I just think there's a lot of question marks surrounding the Steelers' skill positions moving forward, and I still am in the mindset that the longer you can allow a rookie to not have to play, the better off you are. And I think this year, more than any, is the best year for that to happen. If you're going to add a running back, you're going to add a wide receiver. Both of those guys aren't going to be pushed to start right now, but they can learn a very valuable experience by sitting behind guys like James Conner, Juju, Deontay Johnson. When you look at the future at either of those positions, when you have Conner, who I really don't believe is going to be re-signed, and Juju's contract situation really being up in the air with a lot of conflicting reports about his longevity in Pittsburgh. The Steelers are going to need new guys at both spots. You know, I don't know how they feel about Benny Snell long term. I do like Benny Snell, but I still think he's more of a complimentary back, in my opinion, that has a ceiling of a very above average starter, but nothing spectacular or dynamic. I think if you can add a playmaker running back and you can add a playmaker receiver to give yourself some comfort moving forward, especially if you're trying to maximize Big Ben's window, that's kind of what I want to see. I just want to see some new bodies with some new flair for playmaking there. And the one thing that I don't want to see is actually, I could easily say quarterback here, but the one thing I'm going to say that's probably going to kind of turn some heads is I'm really kind of not hoping for a tight end in this class. I'm not sold on this tight end class. I've been adamant about that since day one. I think the Steelers signing a guy like Eric Ebron for a two-year deal and still having Vance McDonald on this roster and not knowing what you have with a guy like Zach Gentry or Christian Scotland-Williamson, they don't need to breach on one of these tight ends in what I think is a very underwhelming tight end class. Wait until there's a tight end class you feel comfortable with and then be able to invest premier stock in that. They haven't drafted a day one or day two tight end since Matt Spaeth. Matt Spaeth is not exactly my idea of a dynamic tight end. They're going to do it, make it a Heath Miller type pick, put the right capital into it and draft a guy earlier on. Don't waste a pick on a day five or a fifth round, day three guy. Just having to be another Jesse James, Zach Gentry type. So that's actually the one position I'm going to just go on a limb here and say I don't think I'd be overly thrilled with, unless there's tremendous value for a guy like Thaddeus Moss on like the fifth round or sixth round. and then maybe I'll accept it. But that's going to be my one kind of contrarian opinion, and feel free to feast me on me alive in the YouTube comments.
I don't disagree with you. Now that with the signing of Ebron, it's just taken tight end out of the realm for me. Here's my upside take. The thing that's going to make me happy with this draft is going to be any pick that helps to maximize that window that you guys were talking about with Ben. The Steelers have, I think, realistically, a 2, at most 3 year window with Ben Roethlisberger to try and win, you know, a championship again. And once that window closes, it's going to stay closed for a little while. So whatever pick they do, whether that, you know, I'm not against a wide receiver in the second round. I'm not against a running back in the second round. I'm not against any position that's going to help them maximize that window. And that includes interior offensive line, because as we've talked about, with both Foster and Finney being gone, there's potentially a need there. If it's going to help them win, that's all I really care about at this point. When you take into account the things that I don't believe will do anything to help them maximize the window, that's why quarterback is number one on that list for me. I do not see that as a benefit. With the signing of Ebron, having McDonald in play, I don't see the desperate need for a tight end, nor do I actually think that there's a tight end worthy of a really, truly high pick in this draft. Not that they have a really, truly high pick either. But, you know, I feel like they need to focus on the offensive side of the ball, Zach, for many of the same reasons you said. And if that means they go, you know, running back, wide receiver, and then flip that in the third and do the opposite, I'm okay with that. I would like the complimentary linebacker to be addressed, but if it's not, and what they do, ooh, I said do-do. What they do is you know, make the offense more prolific and more dynamic and give Ben more pieces to play with, then I'm all about that. So that's what would, get me going if the draft goes down that way. We'll have to wait and see, but not that long anymore. A little over a week, and it all comes to fruition, and we get to see what Roger Goodell's basement looks like. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we just get to make fun of it. I look forward to mocking his basement. We'll run around. Any final thoughts from anybody? Ryan, we'll start with you.
Like we said, I mean, we did a good job in free agency, for what I believe. And any way this draft goes this year, I don't think it's going to kill us. But as you just said, Brian, we need to add as many pieces as possible, because as long as Ben's here, we've got a shot. But once he's gone, it may get a little rough for a little while, so I think we need to kind of focus on winning now in the next couple seasons and really getting this thing rolling.
All right. Ben, any final thoughts from you, sir?
Well, I just think that this year is like a very interesting year that's coming up, because I feel like this is a year that we do have a legitimate shot, especially now that Ben is coming back. But at the same time, like we said, they actually hit all the nails on the head in regards to free agency. They did fill a lot of spots that were necessary. But also, I think this draft is their chance to not only fill up spots that we need to benefit us now, but also start preparing a changing of the guard in the near future. So I'm actually very excited. I'm ready to see what they do with this draft and how they approach it. I just can't wait for football to start.
Absolutely. Zach, what about you?
Yeah, Ben kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I think the Steelers are in a very unique situation this year in terms of looking at where they could go. I know a lot of fans will sit there and say they need to take an impact player at the 49th spot. But in reality, any guy they take at that spot, there's really no open position on the roster right now except for nose tackle, interestingly enough, when you consider that Dan McCullers is really the only guy that really is the only true nose tackle on the roster. And I don't envision them going nose tackle at 49, unless there's just tremendous value with a guy like Ross Blacklock or something like that, and who, and then, is more of a versatile piece. I just think that they could go a lot of different directions, really truly select guys that they want at positions they feel are going to be impactful now and in the future as they kind of get into some weird financial situations with free agents coming up here, to really maximize Ben's window and kind of look forward to, as Ben said, the changing of the guard as we go into the next decade of Steelers football. And I think this gives them a good opportunity to kind of get guys they want, see where they go, and if they contribute as rookies, great. But I don't really see a scenario where there's a whole lot of rookie impact. There's not going to be a Devin Bush or Deontay Johnson caliber impact, in my opinion, in this class. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm surprised, and I'd love to see some rookies make an impact. But I think this class is really solidifying 2021 and beyond more than anything.
No, and I agree with that, and that's what I'm talking about with maximizing this window. It doesn't necessarily mean that the guy has to be an impact player this year, but he's got to be a guy that's going to help them over the time frame that they still have with Ben, and move them forward that way. So I would like to thank all of you for taking time out of your incredibly busy quarantine to spend it here on the podcast. Ryan, tell folks how they can find you, seek you out, or discover you on the interwebs if they so choose.
Well, obviously, I'm a contributor here, and I also write and scout for a site called blitzalytics.com as well. But as far as Twitter goes, social media, you can find me at Lippert42 on Twitter. I'll usually post a bunch of draft stuff or just Steelers stuff in general, so follow me on Twitter there.
All right. Benjamin, what can they do when they want to seek you out to criticize anything you have said?
Well, if you want to debate me on anything, I am also on Twitter at SteelmanBen, and that's in all caps. I'll debate you anything, football, baseball. I can talk about a bunch of things. I'm also a writer and contributor on Steel City Underground, so you could also find me there.
And Zach, the professor of football, look, I hate to even invite the trolls to come find you because they already have. But, if somebody doesn't know how to get a hold of you, what do they do?
Yeah, if you haven't found me yet, good luck. But it's GDSports_ZM. That handle will more than likely be changing in the near future as I try to change identities. But, we'll see. Feel free to comment yet again all the things that I said incorrectly in this podcast, and I'll continue to ignore those said YouTube comments.
Excellent. And I am, of course, at Cannons Don't Thun on YouTube. Or not on YouTube. On YouTube, you find me here on Twitter. If you want to try and find me on any of the other social media platforms, good luck, because I don't pay any attention to those. You could probably find me on Facebook, but all you're going to get is pictures of my hikes. So, that's it for me. Again, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We truly appreciate it. Make sure, for all you listeners, that you subscribe, like, and let us know in the comments, especially for Zach, tell him how wrong he is, because he loves it. He enjoys it. He feeds off of it. As we like to remind everyone, especially nowadays, it is definitely chaos out there. So be kind.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.